take the Word of God with me and turn to the book of Proverbs and chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 12. And as you turn there, we're going to look at two verses in chapter 12, verse 24 and 27. And in both of these verses, we have a contrast between the diligent and the slothful. And the book of Proverbs itself has really much to say about both of those contrasting descriptions, about the slothful man and the diligent man. And so, in some measure, we've already looked at some of those. Perhaps in this message, we will see a little maybe different angle and kind of look at the overview of the diligent hand. But as strange as it may seem, our current society is clearly promoting and encouraging slothfulness. Now, I say that as strange as it may seem, because it would seem to be counterproductive to encourage slothfulness, but nonetheless, it is being promoted, and let me explain. This is done through out-of-control welfare programs. This is also done more recently through leaders in government promoting what they call equity. You've heard that word, equity. They've redefined the word equity, as a matter of fact. The word equity means if you're equitable, you do what is just, you do what is right, you have equal distribution, you show yourself impartial. That's what the word means. Equity, or to be equitable. And they are attempting to change the definition to mean this: equal outcome. In truth, equal outcome is the opposite of equity. The great trouble we have today is that people want economic prosperity. They want emotional stability, they want mental sanity, and they want great opportunity without diligence. And there is a sense of entitlement which is very unhealthy for our society. Now, let me give you an example of what equity would be. If our government would look at two individuals, and let's say we have Bob and Sal, and both Bob and Sal want to start a business, and so let's say our government says, all right, we'll give $100 to Bob and $100 to Sal. We could say, well, that is equitable. We are being equal. But what is being attempted now is to say, all right, we'll give both of them $100, and let's see what they do with that $100. And let's say Bob, he turns that $100 into $40,000, but Sal only turns that $100 into $10,000, that what we're going to do is we're going to take the money from Bob and we're going to give it to Sal, so at the end they have the same amount. That is not equity. It is not. It is the opposite of equity. Now, in the contrast here in our passage, we have this contrast, and really this contrast is found throughout the book of Proverbs. And what I would just say at this point is we have to be very careful not to be influenced by the unbiblical ideas that are promoted in the world. Now, let's look at those two verses. So Proverbs 12, we'll look at verse 24 and 27. Let's stand together just for those two verses. Proverbs 12, we'll read verse 24, and then we'll go down to verse 27. Notice verse 24, the Word of God says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Notice verse 27, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting." And I say, what a shame. "But the substance of a diligent man is precious." So notice in both of those verses, he is contrasting the diligent with the slothful. And so I want to preach this evening on, this is the title, very simple tonight, The Diligent Hand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for your word and for the guidance that the book of Proverbs provides for us, the principles that it lays before us on how we can live in this world and make the most of our life for the glory of God. And so I pray that you would help us to think of ourselves this evening, no doubt to look at the unreasonableness and the injustice that's in the world, but to ask ourselves if we are truly being diligent and by doing so honoring you with our lives. And so give us understanding this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I'd like to preach tonight on the diligent hand. Now, before we begin and really going into the details of what it means to be a diligent man, let's try to define the word as we find it here in the book of Proverbs. The word here in verse 24 and 27, the way it is used here is there is both in the book of Proverbs, the book of Psalm, there's imagery that is used. And so some of the words have a primarily literal sense, but also those words are also used in a figurative sense. And so the word here that we find, this Hebrew word is a very colorful word. The idea here is it was used at that time when somebody would basically dig a trench in the ground. And so the idea is somebody would be referred to by that word. The Hebrew word is there is karutz. It simply means that he is digging a trench in the ground, and so it communicates, we see that intensity. Or it was also used as a man who would be mining gold in the ground or in the river or whatever the case may be. And so where a trench is dug or where gold is mined. And so the idea here is that there is an intensity about those who engage in those practices. That's how the word was used. But in the way it's used in the book of Proverbs, it's used to refer to someone who has determination. You can imagine the idea of someone looking for gold is determined to find that gold. Someone who is eager to look at the end result. Someone who is diligent in seeking for those things. Or someone who is diligent in digging a trench. And the idea there is if you've been involved, and many of you have, in physical labor, one of the things you're trying to do is you're trying to get done as quickly as possible. We've been involved in digging fences and digging holes in the ground. That's hard work. But one of the things you try to do when you work is to try to do it as quickly as possible and to get it done quickly. And so there's a determination, an eagerness, and a diligence about it. So how should we understand this word diligent? Well, the word is defined as being steady in the application of business. It is the idea of being in a constant effort or exertion to accomplish something that is being undertaken. It is someone who is attentive, someone who is industrious, someone who is not going to be idle or negligent in a specific business. The idea here is also somebody who is steadily applying his hand to the plow. It is someone who has a constant effort and someone also who is being careful. So I don't want us to get the idea that the diligent just means somebody that works hard. It is somebody that is careful also in his labor, that does things effectively, that does things the right way, that applies himself and puts all the effort into the job. And so that's how what we think about here, the diligent man. Now, the easy way to find the opposite of the diligent, or a good way to understand what it means to be diligent, is to look at the opposite, which is being slothful. Now, the example for us, notice in this chapter in verse 27, it says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting." Now, I can't imagine that. You know, it's not every year. This year, I've gotten zero deer. Now, I did not go a whole lot, but just maybe once or twice. And so when you get the meat, you get the meat to eat the meat. It's unimaginable that you would just kill the deer and then not eat the meat. And the idea here is of a slothful man is not someone who is too lazy to go hunt. It's someone who has gone hunting and who did catch something, but he is slothful in that he doesn't eat the meat that he hunted. So that means that the idea here of slothfulness does not mean that there is somebody that in everything they do, they're slothful. There might be areas of slothfulness. It is not necessarily descriptive of the entirety of their life. I think of Esau. Remember, he was an avid hunter, went to the field. But when he came home, he said to his brother, "I'm going to die. Give me pottage." Well, that's dramatic. And so it seems like he was diligent in hunting, but slothful in making his own food. That he couldn't wait, that he had to have the pottage that was already ready. And so the idea here is we have to understand there's the diligence. The opposite to that is slothfulness, but it is not necessarily descriptive of the entirety of someone's life. And so the reason why I say that at this point is because here's what we might do before we get into the message. Well, Pastor, when I'm at my job, I work hard. And I may say, well, I believe that. But that does not necessarily mean that you are not slothful in other areas. Now, here's my tendency. And I know it might be yours because it's part of human nature that we excuse our lack of diligence in certain areas because we are diligent in other areas. And so we use that as a tool to excuse our slothfulness in areas that we are unconcerned about. So, as I've mentioned in many messages, that often we have to focus not on the degree. We might look at others and say, well, I'm not as slothful as this person. I know coworkers, and I know how they work, and I certainly don't work like that. And so let's not think and try to compare ourselves with other men. Let's try to ask ourselves, Lord, would you reveal any area in my life of slothfulness? Any? Is there any of that in me? And may that be our heart. So let's ask this first question. What does the diligent do? What does he do? If we understand the word of diligent, someone who is steady in application to business, someone who is in constant effort and exertion to accomplish what is being undertaken, someone who is attentive, someone who is industrious, someone who is not idle or negligent. What does the diligent do? Well, I think that there are some scripture that indicate to us what the diligent does do. And this is really general, but I think it will be helpful and applicable to us as we think about the idea of being diligent. The first thing that I note from the scriptures, now again, this is a study on a subject. The first thing I note is that the diligent discerns what is the most important work. The diligent discerns what is the most important work. Now, I'm reminded if we would go, you can turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Now, we know the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Both of those books are about rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the walls, rebuilding the city, and so forth. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 6, we have the scene there with Sembalat and Tobiah. And in Nehemiah chapter 6, here's what the Bible says, and here's what we understand to be diligence. The Bible says in verse 1, now, it came to pass when Sembalat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sembalat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. And that would be an indication, oh no, don't go there, okay? He says, but they thought to do me mischief. I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? It's a rhetorical question. In other words, I don't have time to do this. Why? Because my priority is here to a more important work. There is a priority in my life, and part of being diligent is not just to be busy. It's about being busy doing the right thing. We understand in the world there are many people who are very busy. But unfortunately, they are busy doing the wrong thing. And one of the greatest tragedies in the world is people that learn to succeed in doing the wrong thing. They have become successful in doing the wrong thing. But the diligent discerns what is the most important work. We see, secondly, from the scriptures that the diligent understands the value of time and he does not squander it. The diligent understands the value of time and he does not squander it. Now, we could go to the book of Ephesians, and in the practical part of the letter to the church at Ephesus, he writes to them about how they ought to conduct their lives and conduct themselves in their family, in their work environment, and so on. And he gives a lot of specific areas. But before he gets to all the specifics of the home and work life and all those things, he tells them this specifically. He says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so before he deals with, okay, here's the priorities for husbands and for wives and for children and for servants and for masters. Here's all those individual areas where we ought to prioritize. He seems to indicate to them here that they need to understand the value of time and they ought not to squander it. You ought to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. In other words, we don't have time to waste. We don't have time to just play around. By the way, we only have one shot at life. I know eternity is forever, but not life on earth. That is temporal. And so someone who is diligent is not only someone who discerns what is the most important work, but it is also someone who understands the value of time, and he does not squander that time. Thirdly, the diligent makes the most of what he has. He looks at his resources as God-given. Let me say that again. The diligent makes the most of what he has. Now, we have this example right here in Proverbs 12, verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. Now, what is that? Why is he called slothful? He is called slothful because there is something that is at his disposal. It is something he already has. He already went hunting for the meat. He has the meat. He just won't roast it. What does that mean? He is not making the most of what he has. If we don't make the most of what we have, then we cannot be considered diligent. We have to look at what we have as the resources that God has given to us. Now, I know what the world thinks, so look at my wealth. This is what I have accrued. No, that's what God has given you. Everything we have comes from God. And say, well, no, Pastor, I have worked hard my entire life to be where I'm at today. All right. Well, who gave you the health that you had for your entire life to build that wealth? And so it's important for us to understand that the resources we have are God-given, and we have to make the most of what is at our disposal. The fourth thing that we know about the diligent is that the diligent learns to fulfill and balance his God-given responsibilities. The diligent learns to fulfill and balance his God-given responsibilities. Now, let me explain myself. It may seem difficult here to ascertain what I'm saying. Let me try to explain. I said the diligent must learn. So there's something that we have to learn to do. What is that? To both fulfill and to balance are God-given responsibilities. Now, what does that mean? Well, remember early on I talked about the idea how the diligent, it is possible for us to be diligent in some areas, but slothful in other areas. And sometimes we may use our diligence in these areas to excuse our slothfulness in other areas. Now, when we think about our lives, we all have what I would refer to as God-given responsibilities. So let me just refer to things in my life. And so I would say that first and foremost, I am a child of God. I am a Christian. And I have a relationship with the Lord, and that is my primary relationship. That is my number one relationship. But then I would say that also I'm a husband. That's a God-given responsibility, right? Ephesians chapter 5. There is responsibilities that God gives to the husband. I could say also that I'm a father. And when it comes to fatherhood, God has God-given responsibilities for fathers. That's also in the Word of God. And I could also say that I'm a pastor. And that means that there are certain God-given responsibilities with being a pastor. I could say I'm a Christian, and there are also God-given responsibilities as a Christian. I could say that I'm a friend. I could say I am a son, and I have responsibilities to honor my father and my mother. And so I think about all those God-given responsibilities. You could say that those are all God-given responsibilities. Therefore, I have a responsibility in each one of those areas. So what do I have to do? If I'm going to be diligent, I'm going to have to learn to both fulfill and balance my God-given responsibilities. Now, why do I say fulfill? Well, because those are, okay, if I say I'm a child of God, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor, so on. And we could go down the list. And so in all of those are all God-given responsibilities. And sometimes there might be things that are at conflict, where we think, well, what do I give my life priority to? And sometimes it may seem that, well, I'm not sure what to do. Should I fulfill my responsibility in this area or fulfill my responsibility in this area? And so what we do is we have to learn to fulfill all those responsibilities, but also we have to learn to balance those. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how do we do that? The diligent, I don't have the answer for you. I'm just saying to you that the diligent learns to both fulfill and balance those God-given responsibilities. Why? Well, the diligent, first of all, discerns what is most important. Then the diligent understands the value of time and does not squander it. And the diligent makes most of what he has. And so when we think about what is most important, us valuing time and the God-given resources that God has given us, then we have to learn, if we're going to be diligent, to fulfill those responsibilities and to balance what God, the responsibilities that God has given us. So the reason why I say that is because we may be let me give you an example of my life, and I guess this maybe will communicate that to you. I'm a pastor, and so that means I have responsibilities as a pastor. And you could say that you have responsibilities, let's say, at your job, that you make a living, and so you have those responsibilities, and you should fulfill faithfully those responsibilities. And so I can be very diligent in being the pastor of First State Baptist Church, and then see, like, well, look, I'm working hard, and I'm working tirelessly, and I'm really intense about the work of God. And since I'm so intense, then when it comes to my responsibility as a husband and as a father, I use my diligence as a pastor to excuse my slothfulness as a husband and as a father. So what I have to learn, if I'm going to be diligent, truly diligent, I'm going to have to learn to fulfill all those responsibilities, and I'm going to have to learn to balance those. The truth is, I'm limited in my time. Now, there are priorities in life. There are things that are important, things that are less important. And so the diligent, again, let me repeat all those points, he discerns what is most important. And so there might be times, and let me get, and look, I haven't had, but I know pastors have had to deal with that, an example of my life. Some pastors at time have had family issues so deep that they said, I have to leave this week, and have come to the church, says, there is turmoil in my home, and I need to go away for this week. I've seen that happen. What are they determining in that time? I have my church responsibility and I have my family responsibility, but I'm not going to use my church responsibilities as an excuse not to deal with my family responsibilities. Does that make sense? And so that's a diligent man. Because he could say inside himself, well, I'm not going to take time for my family because, after all, I'm diligently serving God. And so he may use that as an excuse to neglect his family. And so what we have to do is, if we're going to be diligent in all those areas, we have to learn to fulfill those and to balance those God-given responsibilities. So that is what a diligent man does. Diligent woman does. Now, I want to talk about that was the first question. What does a diligent man do? But the second thing is, what benefits does the diligent receive? You know, the Bible doesn't just tell us, be diligent. It also gives us the benefits. Now, I want to go through the book of Proverbs because we find clearly some great benefits of being diligent. Let me go, and let's take those, let's put it this way, chronologically, outside of Proverbs 12, in the book of Proverbs. Let's go back to chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10. Notice with me, Proverbs chapter 10. We're looking for the benefit. What is the benefit of being diligent? Notice chapter 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now here he's clearly talking about the benefit. What is the benefit? There is an economic benefit to diligence. There is. By the way, that's a Bible principle. That's why, by the way, what our government is doing today, what is called equity, equal outcome, is against God, is against His Word, and is against equity. The government is only there to reward those that do good and to punish those that do bad. And so there ought to be, the incentive in a society ought to be, that those who are diligent receive a economic benefit from it, not to punish them because they work harder than other people. That is not equity. So there is an economic benefit to diligence. And we could say that maybe the benefit is prosperity, right? Worldly prosperity, that if you work hard and you're diligent in business, you will have all that you need. You will prosper in this life. Now, the opposite is true throughout the book of Proverbs, right? The slothful is the one who is always in want. The diligent is the opposite. So there's an economic benefit to diligence. But then let's turn to chapter 13. Go to Proverbs chapter 13 and notice with me verse 4. Proverbs 13 verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Okay, so now here we're talking about the soul. Now, what is the soul? We could say that the soul is the seed of the emotions. And so when we think about the soul, here's what we learn from this. The soul of the slugger, the soul of the slugger hath nothing, desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And so the idea here is that the soul that is made fat is satisfied. So there's the imagery for us that the soul that is diligent receives all that it needs. And so here we find that there is an emotional benefit to diligence. There is an emotional benefit to diligence. He's speaking specifically of the soul. And so understand that we're not talking here about the physical, although it is true that the person who is physically slothful will be in want, but it does something to their soul. Their soul will be desiring. Their soul will be what? Well, when the, right? Go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways. Why? Because she prepares the food for the winter. Well, you know what the slugger does? Comes winter, he panics. Why? Because he has no food. It's not good for his soul. He is panicking, he is nervous, he doesn't know what to do. Why? Because he was slothful. And so what we learn here is that there is an emotional benefit to diligence. What does that bring to our lives? Stability, emotional stability. That's what diligence brings to our lives, emotional stability. Go with me to chapter 21, Proverbs chapter 21. Notice verse 5. The Bible says here, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty only to want. So we talked about how there is an economic benefit to diligence, prosperity. There is an emotional benefit to diligence, stability. But here we find that there is a mental benefit to diligence. Right? He's talking about the thoughts now. And notice, the thoughts of the diligent. So here, this man is already diligent. So what happened in his thought life? Notice, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. He has everything he needs. The opposite, but everyone that is hasty only to want. What tends to want? His thoughts. His mind is consumed with, oh, where is my next meal coming from? Oh, what's going to happen to me? You see, the diligent receives a mental benefit. How would I refer to that? Sanity. You see, diligence brings prosperity. It brings emotional stability, but it also brings mental sanity. That's what the diligence will do in our lives. Let's look at another one. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And notice with me verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? And let me just pause and say, Joseph. Okay? The rest of the proverb says, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. That's a good verse for Joseph. He was diligent in all he did. God was with him. Everything that he did prospered in his hand. Well, where did he end up? He stood before the king. What do we learn here? There is an opportunity benefit to diligence. There is an opportunity benefit to diligence. You see, the diligent... What is this proverb teaching us? The diligent will have greater opportunities when he is diligent. Those who are not diligent, though, will not have the same opportunities than those who are not diligent. And by the way, that should be the what should describe a healthy society. You know, today, I read the statistic, I think it was today, I can't remember if it's accurate, but it's very high. I think it was 80% of people that graduate from college do not end up in a job that they went to college for. But somehow they think that just that education will give them a job. You know what should be happening in our society is we should look at somebody's performance, not somebody's diploma. All right? If I'm starting a business and I see a resume and somebody has been working for waste management, picking up trash every morning, for 20 years, and he shows up every morning at 5:30 in the morning, and every morning did not miss one day of work, and he's done that for 20 years. And somebody shows up and says, "Hey, you're starting a business. Here's my resume," and I say a diploma with a college degree. You know which one I'm going to pick every single time? I care nothing about that diploma. It means nothing. It just means that you filled out some answers on a test. Now, what I'm saying is, here, there is a benefit to education. I'm not saying that, right? There are people, I'm glad doctors are educated. That's a good thing. And that engineers that do, that's a good thing. But the diploma itself should not be a reward of greater opportunity. Diligence should. Diligence. So, what are the benefits? Why should I be diligent? Well, here's from the Bible. There's an economic benefit to being diligent. There is an emotional benefit to being diligent. There is a mental benefit to being diligent. There is an opportunity benefit to diligence. But there's one more thing here. If you go back to our original chapter, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful man shall be under tribute. That's interesting. What do we learn here? There is a personal freedom benefit to diligence. There is a personal freedom benefit to diligence. Isn't that what he says? The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. He's going to be in charge. But the slothful shall be under tribute. Well, that's logical, isn't it? Why? Because the person who has had, because of his diligence, more opportunity, he is placed in a high position. Why? Because he's proved himself by his diligence. But the one who is slothful, every single time will be under tribute. Why? Because he hasn't proved himself. He hasn't been diligent. And so there is here we find a personal freedom benefit to diligence. So here is the summary of the benefit of being diligent: prosperity, emotional stability, mental sanity, greater opportunity, and freedom. And the slothful is the opposite. Poverty, a lack of emotional stability, a lack of emotional sanity, squandered opportunity, and no freedom. Well, that describes our society to a T, does it not? We have a bunch of people who are simply enslaved to our government. All they do is receive, 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 and they don't realize that they're in bondage. So those are the benefits that the diligent receive. Now let me try at this point here to make some application here, because diligence is not a moral virtue that should be separated from religion. Diligence should be the product of true religion. In other words, it should describe every Christian. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. New Testament, the book of Romans. If you know the book of Romans, the first 11 chapters are doctrinal, and he emphasizes many wonderful doctrinal truths. And then when he gets to chapter 12, he gets into the specifics, and he begins by chapter 12 by talking about the gifts, how there can be exercised within the church. And then we get to Romans chapter 12, and we get to verse 9. And notice here, as he gives some instruction to those believers, after he laid out the doctrinal grounding of believers, he says this in verse 9 and 11. Let love, Romans 12, 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. What does he say here then? Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's Romans 12 that comes after the first 11 chapters of Romans. So now, how does he begin chapter 12? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of what has happened to you, because of the gospel, because of Christ. And as much as I want to go and summarize the first 11 chapters, I'm not going to take the time, because we'll be here all night, till midnight, like Paul. But he talks about all the wonderful benefits of Christ: our salvation, our sanctification, our final glorification. What a wonderful thing. And he says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. And what is the perfect will of God? Not slothful in business. That's the will of God for our lives. You could see, you could take that verse and say, for the remainder of the book of Romans, chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, everything else that I'm going to read to you, that's God's will for your life. One of those things is not slothful in business. So sometimes people say, well, Pastor, what is God's will for my life? Well, tonight, here's the message: don't be slothful in business. Now, he says after that, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It's clear throughout those New Testament epistles, even when he talks about servants serving their masters, He says, when you serve your master, do it as unto the Lord. You mean my job? I ought to do it unto the Lord? Yep. You know who should be the best employees in wherever you're working? You. May it never be said that there is another person who is unsaved, unregenerate, that is more diligent than you. Why? Because you're a Christian. You see, this moral virtue should not be separated from religion. It's not something that, well, you know, some people, they just have it, you know, they got that drive in them. No, no, no. It is the product of true religion. Now, let me give you, let's just do one application. Turn back with me to the book of Proverbs and chapter 29. Proverbs 29. And we'll be done. I trust that the Holy Spirit will make application in each one of our lives. Notice Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child, what? A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, we know what that means. A child left to himself. Here's what's clear. A child should not be left to himself. That child that is left to himself, he says, it bringeth his mother to shame. And so, if the mother neglects the child, she is being what? Slothful. She is not being diligent in what? Her responsibility as a mother. The child should not be left to himself. Now, the product of that is what? The child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Who does it come back on? The mother. She will be ashamed. Why? Because of her slothfulness. I don't know of anything else that breaks the heart of a mother more than to see a child wander away from the Lord. I'm talking about Christian motherhood. And so what does that do? And sometimes you could go back, and by the way, sometimes you could do things right, and your children still, by the way, they have a free will, and they may not serve the Lord. That's a possibility. But may it never be the result of slothfulness in our lives. You see, the child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I think now we understand why the benefit of slothfulness is emotional stability, mental sanity. Why? Because if we're slothful, the consequences are coming, and they're devastating to the soul and to the mind. Devastating. And so, may the Lord help us. I'll share this with you. I was convicted by this, and I gave you the illustration. Why? Well, because I'm serving the Lord. I'm a pastor. So you know part of what I do. You know what I do is I spend time praying and studying the Word of God and witnessing and giving out the Word of God on a regular basis. And so you know why, what I can say to myself, and perhaps I've done this unconsciously, I can neglect my own family and me personally teaching my children about the Lord. Why? Because I'm delivering public messages all the time. And I can use that as an excuse to be slothful. And so the Lord said to me, are you as diligent in preparing to teach your children as you are in preparing sermons for the church? See, we have to look at all of our life, and let's just think about mainly those God-given responsibilities. If you're employed, you have a responsibility toward your employer. If you're a church member, you have a responsibility to the church. If you're a father, you have a responsibility to your children. If you're a wife, you have a responsibility towards your husband. If you're a husband, you have a responsibility towards your wife. And so on. We could go through all those areas. And so let me ask you this, and we're done. Are you diligent in those areas? And have you learned to both fulfill and balance all those areas?